as my mum radicalised herself and became more erratic and more violent and more demanding with her behaviour, one by one, my siblings all left home. And I've noticed my mother also was doing that with her friends when we were younger. You notice, huh, why does mum have different friends this year to last year? Oh, there's different friends this year? What's going on? It's like a soap opera with like constantly changing casts. So the conspiracy theory doesn't exist in your mind like a regular idea. It actually has a feedback loop with your social behavior, and it isolates you and radicalizes you, and they go back and forth until you believe that lizards control the world.
Fast forward several years, and in 2019, Sebastian was studying at university, and Paloma had left home too. She had got her place at Cambridge and moved into college accommodation. Then the COVID-19 pandemic hit.
From this evening, I must give the British people a very simple instruction. You must stay at home.
It was a scary and uncertain time, and some people started to post conspiracy theories about what was going on.
COVID was the iPhone moment for my mum, because out of nowhere, there was suddenly a national cause which was in my mum's field of expertise, medicine. Many people wanted to believe was wrong because the lockdowns and all the virus itself was ruining people's lives. So people wanted to deny it. And my mother was perfectly positioned, right place, right time, right set of quote unquote skills to take advantage of that. So that exploded her popularity. Online, in conferences, she was doing the rallies at Trafalgar Square.
We're a group of lawyers. We are collating all that. At the Nuremberg trials, the doctors and nurses stood trial, and they hung.
The ideas promoted by Kate Shemarani and dozens of others at these rallies and online went beyond genuine questions about the proportionality of lockdown measures or the safety of vaccines. She suggested doctors and nurses should be punished for their part in unfounded, sinister plots to harm people. In 2020, Sebastian's relationship with his mum was very strained, and what she was posting on social media felt dangerous to him. So he decided to speak out about it. He got in touch with me and did his first interview about her.
Do you think there would ever be a way of you having a relationship with her again?
I think she's too far gone to be helped. I'm never going to have a relationship with my mum again. And that's why it's important that if, you know, someone else is coming to you and saying, I'm starting to believe this stuff, nip it in the bud. Because it takes a couple of years to completely lose somebody. And when this is over in 3 or 4 years' time, and everything she said is forgotten and the global genocide hasn't happened, people will forget about it. But, you know, the disaster that goes on within my family and the relationships that she's losing now, that stuff stays forever.
Kate responded to the interview on another podcast.
He's my son and I love him and I forgave him the day he was born for anything that he would do in his life. That's called a mother's love.
Right.
And I would die for him.
Right.
And I would protect him and stand in front of him. I don't care what he's done or what he's said, he's my son and I love him.
Around that time, some of Kate's social media accounts were suspended by the platforms.
Everybody took her down. She went into obscurity. She was doing like small town hall meetups in, you know, little villages for like, you know, 100 people.
In 2021, although Kate was not employed as a nurse at the time, a nursing and midwifery council panel determined that she should be struck off as a nurse for promoting misinformation about the pandemic. Then, in 2022, some of the social media sites started to change their rules. This opened up new opportunities for Kate and others who share her beliefs. Online, Kate continued to describe herself as a nurse.
What happened afterwards was Musk bought Twitter, renamed it X. All the crazies went back online. My mum rehabilitated herself. And since then, I've noticed she's only a couple of X following connections away from MPs, politicians in the US as well, the entire English-speaking world.
Kate's account was one of many that had been suspended for spreading misinformation about the pandemic and vaccines. Lots of these profiles were reinstated following concerns from X's new owner, Elon Musk, that alternative views had been censored. While Sebastian's approach was to speak out about his mum, he says his sister's strategy for how to handle the situation was quite different.
My approach was that these people, they're not to be negotiated with and get out as soon as possible. But Paloma's strategy was different. Paloma's strategy was to appease, to be sweet, to try and win the love that she hadn't been granted earlier.
Chantel, Paloma's friend, noticed how Paloma was keen to maintain her connection with her mum.
I knew it was a bit more difficult, her relationship with her mum. Her mum, in the beginning, would say to me that she felt that she didn't have a good relationship with her mother, so it was really important for her to have a good relationship with her kids. And I do remember those conversations really clearly with her mum. But I remember with Paloma, I felt that there were times they were really good and there's times that they were not good. There was distance, but Paloma, it was an important relationship for Paloma because I think I also have quite a small family. So I think having relationships with my siblings and my parents is really important to me because all my family are abroad. So I felt that I could relate that she always wanted that connection with her family.
The evidence I've gathered suggests Paloma's relationship with her mum fluctuated. Chantel says there were periods when they didn't speak at all, and others when they would be spending time together. Paloma's former boyfriend, Arnda, tells me that Christmas 2022 was one of the times when Paloma was trying to maintain their bond. Her other siblings had decided not to spend Christmas at home, but she'd come home with a gift. I've seen messages she sent to Arnda about what was happening. Paloma writes, "My mum has just started on me for absolutely no reason. Told me I deliberately keep all my siblings away from her, and it's my fault they're not here, and that I enjoy it." Paloma continues, "I'm so sick of being abused all the fucking time. I literally sacrificed my own plans to get here, and now I'm just sat taking shit from her and crying at the same time. She just won't stop coming into my room and being mean. She's hitting me." After that, Paloma left the house to spend the rest of Christmas with her friend. She texted her mum following their argument, saying how for her this was the last straw. You hurt me every time I let you in, and I never ever will again. I'm beyond hurt. Paloma shared the messages with her boyfriend to show him what had happened. There is love and care in her messages about and with her mum at times too. This was one of the more fraught moments. Paloma made clear in her texts how she had not mocked her mum's beliefs or disputed them in the same way her older brother had. It's impossible to know where Paloma truly stood on these ideas. From Sebastian's point of view, as a child, Paloma didn't show an interest in the conspiracy theories.
Paloma and me and my other siblings had never been very interested in the whole suite of conspiracy theories. And besides Paloma taking the supplements and juices that my mum made, which I did as well when I was younger, there was no interest shown by Paloma in any of the systematic conspiracy theory ideas. She had absolutely no ideological leanings whatsoever. She was just sometimes a bit stubborn and a bit selfish. And if we ordered a pizza and there were, you know, like 12 slices and you were late, well, she'd eat your three as well. That's just the kind of person she was. The only thing that got Paloma interested in all of this stuff was when she got her diagnosis and she was scared.
Gabriel, being Paloma's twin, was particularly close to her growing up and as a teenager.
No change you go through is by yourself. You're not going to secondary school by yourself. You're not, you know, you're not getting boyfriends and girlfriends for the first time by yourself. You're not, every big life stone you're doing with someone, and you feel way less lonely.
He says Paloma had made some decisions about her health that were more in line with their mum's ideas, but it wasn't necessarily because she agreed with them.
So she hadn't been vaxxed for COVID. But to put that down to like, oh, she was alternative, she'd always been pro-alternative health is a complete misreading. I got vaccinated for COVID because my girlfriend has quite elderly relatives. I got a barrage of text messages when Kay found out saying, you know, you can't come to this house. This is your girlfriend's family fault. I'm going to go to their house. I'm going to have it out with them. And I think Paloma was terrified that if she got the... Because this was the only place that Paloma had to go to live. I think Paloma was terrified that if she got the vaccine, then Kay was going to... You know, she had no house. So it was like, you're picking between vaccine or being homeless.
Chantelle says that Paloma was sceptical about the COVID-19 vaccines. And some of her other views on health also chimed with her mum's.
She did say about her mum and the cancer... She spoke about her mum curing herself and how that would... She had similar ideologies to that. But we didn't clash about it because we didn't speak about it in too much depth. But I did notice that she was really into health. She didn't wear sunscreen. I remember she used to get burnt so badly at school. And I used to always tell her off because my mum is such an advocate for sunscreen.
Why was that?
She believed that sunscreen could cause cancer. I remember her saying that to me, and then I obviously said, well, I don't think that's true. I think you should wear it, especially when she would get such bad sunburns, because she was quite fair. And then I do remember sleepovers that she did have non-fluoridated toothpaste.
Chantelle says her impression was the longer Paloma had been living away at university, the less rigid her beliefs started to become.
I remember she came over to my house, and this is when she hadn't been at her mum's house, or they weren't speaking at this time, I believe. And I remember that she started introducing a bit of meat back into her diet. I remember that I had some fluoride toothpaste and she used it and she didn't really think too much of it. We spoke a little bit about sunscreen and she'd started wearing sunscreen as well. So I do think that that non-contact period actually really did change her view, in my opinion. I never like pressured her into any of it, but I do remember noting it in my head, being like, that's really good. I'm glad that she's not doing those things that she was doing before.
To try to figure out why Paloma made the decision she did, I want to investigate what happened at the time of her diagnosis. Because Paloma's case, while extreme, helps us explore how medical misinformation has become more mainstream. I've found that conspiracy theory influencers, such as Kate Shemarani, are sharing once fringe anti-medicine views to millions, which can leave vulnerable people at risk of serious harm. While those ideas seem to have started at home for Paloma, other patients are first encountering them on their social media feeds. And the narratives have taken on a new dimension since the pandemic. Alternative health beliefs shared on social media are now sometimes infused with anti-establishment narratives about sinister plots by medics or pharmaceutical companies to kill or harm lots of people. These are very different from real examples of medical malpractice or genuine criticism of pharmaceutical companies. And now medics and nurses on the front lines are encountering these anti-medicine ideas in real life.
It used to almost be a slight trope that the patients who came in with a big file of newspapers, it would be quite a long conversation and you'd have to demystify what they came in with. Now that information has just been given to people all the time, and I guess the algorithms are pushing that even more. And I suspect that once you've looked up online something about non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, you may get some of the conspiracy theories pushed automatically to you as well.
That's next time on Mariana in Conspiracy Land 2.
Hello, I'm Nick Robinson. You might be tired of switching on the news, hearing those pre-rehearsed sound bites, the lines to take from those who shape our lives. When politics is as fragmented, as unpredictable, as fraught as it is now, it can be hard to cut through the noise. That is precisely my aim on Political Thinking, my podcast from BBC Radio 4. I have extended conversations with those who shape our political thinking. I try to get to the heart of what makes these people tick. What lies behind what you're seeing or hearing on the news? That's Political Thinking with me, Nick Robinson. You can listen on BBC Sounds.